Hello, I'm Olympic medalist Goldie Sayers, and for the final time this series, welcome back to Insider, the podcast from the UK Sports Institute that lifts the lid on the science behind peak performance. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that over the past couple of episodes, we've been shining a light on female athlete health. From periods to the perimenopause to pregnancy in sports bras, we've covered a lot of ground and hopefully passed on some helpful tips from the brightest minds in sports science along the way. If you've missed any of our episodes, they're all available for free wherever you get your podcasts. And today's episode is a special bonus podcast, which follows on from the last time we were together when we talked about having a baby whilst training. And whilst we touched on pelvic floor health with our previous guest, this time out, we're going to find out more about the topic, because as you'll hear, it's not just something to think about around childbirth. So I'm delighted to welcome back to Insider the UKSI's Head of Sports Medicine and Co-Lead of Female Athlete Health and Performance, Dr. Anita Biswas. Hi again, Anita.
Hello, Goldie.
Okay, so pelvic floor health, Anita. What do we mean by pelvic health and what is the pelvic floor?
If we start with what the pelvic floor is, we're talking about a sling of muscles that run through the pelvis and support all the pelvic organs. So that is the uterus, the bladder, and the rectum. And basically, it creates a nice sling under those structures so that the structures stay where you need them to be. When a woman is pregnant, that pelvic floor can get stretched and it can get damaged through labor. So that's when often most people become very aware of their pelvic floor. And a lot of younger women are very unaware of their pelvic floors, and men often don't even know they've got a pelvic floor. So when we talk about pelvic health, we're talking about that sling of muscle working properly in the same way as any other muscle, that it relaxes at the right time, it contracts at the right time, it helps you to control your bladder and your bowel control at the right time. And when we talk about ill health, we are talking about things like urinary incontinence. So that's leaking of urine at a time when you shouldn't be leaking urine at any time. You might leak feces and stain your underwear, or in severe cases, sometimes the organs in the pelvis can come through the pelvic floor. Most commonly, that's the uterus. So if a woman's had a pregnancy, had a traumatic labor, or haven't done their pelvic floor exercises after labor, they might find as they get older and that pelvic floor gets weaker, that their uterus and or some of their other organs start appearing in places that you wouldn't want them to be appearing. So that's pelvic floor health and ill health.
And obviously in the athlete population, they're seen to have kind of great musculature. So you would assume that their pelvic floor would be very good. So how common is pelvic kind of ill health in the athlete population?
Yeah, so pelvic floor dysfunction is much more common than we think. And that we would expect in athletes, as you say, you expect them to be strong and healthy. And we associate pelvic floor dysfunction or stress incontinence with weakness. And that's because we're thinking about women who've had babies, their pelvic floor has been damaged. But we've done a number of studies at the UK Sports Institute where we've actually asked athletes if they experience things like urinary leakage. And we found that 1 in 5 elite athletes reported leakage of urine when they were training. We do know that if an athlete is under fueling, so they have a low energy intake compared to how much that energy that's going out, then that doubles the risk of them having a weak pelvic floor and urinary incontinence and other problems. And one of the big problems is that because urinary incontinence, there are more adverts on TV around older women and not being embarrassed about urinary incontinence, but there's no discussion about younger women. And so less than 50% of women, of athletes that have symptoms, report those symptoms to a health professional. And the good thing is, so there is good news that pelvic floor exercises appropriately prescribed for an individual are really successful. They do work. So there is a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel with it.
And so what symptoms have athletes reported experiencing?
Yeah, so the obvious ones are leaking of urine when training or when coughing and sneezing. and the typical story of a woman as she gets older and maybe that pelvic floor gets weaker is that she can't get to the toilet in time. She knows she needs to go to the toilet. And then when she goes to the toilet, she doesn't quite get there in time and then has an accident. But in younger women, it may be that they leak urine during training. They may feel an increased urge to want to go to the toilet. So they feel like they're always needing to go to the toilet, but there's no signs of infection. They may find it really difficult to actually pass urine or find that when they empty their bladder, they very quickly afterwards need to empty their bladder again. So that means that they haven't completely emptied their bladder on the first occasion. And likewise, they can find that they get constipation. Sometimes there's pelvic pain, or they can get recurrent infections. So all of these can be a sign that the pelvic floor is not functioning properly. And now, as I said before, the older lady who's maybe her pelvic floor's got weaker and she's not getting to the toilet quickly enough, sometimes what athletes do is if they're concerned they may have leakage, they either not drink as much. So if we think about sports where there's a lot of impact, such as trampolining, for example, the strategies athletes learn is that they drink less, then they're more likely to get urinary infections, or they become dehydrated, or they go to the toilet just in case. So then they start going to the toilet too frequently, and then their bladder gets used to not holding as much urine, or they become so strong in their pelvic floors that they then can't relax it. And that can be as problematic as having a weak pelvic floor, is not being able to relax the muscles at the right time.
And are there certain sports where it's more common? Obviously, you mentioned trampolining, but are there others where it's more common to have some of these symptoms?
Yeah, so they're more common, and we recognise the symptoms more often in athletes that are doing impact loading. So if they're running long distances, for example, and the pelvic floor is being slapped up and down, that can cause problems. Weightlifters sometimes find, because of the increase abdominal pressure from them holding their breath as they lift a heavy weight, can have problems. So it's recognized in those sports. But actually, again, research, when you actually ask athletes, even sports that you maybe wouldn't expect it, so things like hockey, we've seen a higher incidence of stress incontinence in hockey players. And actually, the more you explore, the more athletes you find who are reporting symptoms. So if you think about a lot of athletes for whom strength training is an important part of their training, if they're used to contracting all their muscles and being really strong, then sometimes they become too strong in their pelvic floor and they can't relax that pelvic floor properly.
And at the UKSI, how are you supporting athletes with pelvic health, and what can they do to alleviate some of those symptoms?
Yeah, so one of the most important things we're trying to do is raise awareness and educating athletes about what's normal and what's not normal. It is never normal to leak urine or feces during training. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, who you are or what your sport is. It might be common in a sport, but that doesn't mean it's normal. So that's an important part of the work that we're doing, is to encourage athletes not to be embarrassed, but to present and seek appropriate advice. When athletes have symptoms, we not only want them to present, but so we encourage them to present to the doctors, but also we refer them to experts. So we're sports and exercise medicine specialists. We're not pelvic floor specialists. So we introduce them to specialist pelvic floor physios predominantly. And then there's things around. So getting the pelvic floor functioning properly is probably the single most important thing an athlete can do around this area. The temptation is for athletes to try and just wear protective pads and things in their underwear to mitigate against the leakage. But we would encourage them to actually address the problem rather than just use pads. And they may need to use pads or leak prevention underwear to help whilst they get the function right. But we wouldn't encourage them to consider that is all they do, and they ignore the fact that there's something wrong with the pelvic floor and they need to address it. And the main aim is really to try and help them to minimize the impact on their quality of life and their sporting performance. No athlete wants to go out there worrying whether they're going to leak urine during a competition. And, if an athlete's leaking urine there's photographs that we've probably all seen online where that urine leakage is visible to others. It's not just a small amount of urine, and that can cause quite a lot of anxiety for athletes and a distraction while they're competing.
And obviously, you mentioned childbirth and how what an impact that can have on your pelvic floor. I know in France, it's, you know, you're mandatory that women have a kind of pelvic floor physiotherapy session or number of sessions after giving birth. What can women in the UK do to help themselves postpartum?
Yeah, so I think the single most important thing is not to assume because you've got those symptoms postpartum that you don't need to see a pelvic floor physio. And the other thing is to not assume because you didn't have a traumatic delivery that your pelvic floor might not be affected. So it's really common for women's pelvic floor to be damaged during childbirth. Or if you've had a very large baby, the pelvic floor could still be stretched even if you have a cesarean section. So I would encourage all women to get an assessment to make sure once, you know, once their cesarean's healed and they're just gradually healing themselves. But you can start doing the pelvic floor exercises pretty much straight away, you know, while you're breastfeeding or feeding the baby. Start finding your pelvic floor, getting that muscle working again, and don't stop until the day you die. Because people think, oh, I've done my pelvic floor exercises, and then they stop. It needs to be an ongoing thing, because as a, if we think about when women go through the perimenopause, the muscles will get weaker. And so you might have a pelvic floor that's hanging in there and doing what it needs to do up until that perimenopausal phase. And then it becomes weaker when all your other muscles become weaker, and then you start having your problems.
And Anita, how do we know we can activate our pelvic floor? Because I think we're often talked about, you know, the squeeze or whatever we're supposed to do. A, what should we do to activate it? And how do we know we're doing it correctly?
Yeah, so I think the general consensus, and I'm not a pelvic floor specialist in terms of physio, but the physios generally will say that you don't necessarily know whether you're doing it right. And the best way to know is to get a pelvic floor assessment, to ask a physio who for whom that is what they do day in, day out, to help you. The one good thing about the pelvic floor is it is one muscle. So if you can feel contraction at the front or contraction at the back, you will be contracting the whole muscle, because people worry that this bit's working and that bit's not. The easiest way to find your pelvic floor and see what it's doing is when you're passing urine, is to try and stop your flow. You shouldn't do that regularly. It's just, you know, if you want trying to find the pelvic floor, that can help you to find it. If you've got a weak pelvic floor, you probably won't be able to stop your urine flow, but at least it will help you to work out where that muscle is. There's a really nice app called the Squeezy app, which is an NHS produced app, which you can download onto your phone, and it reminds you every day to do your exercises, and it talks you through what you need to do. So if for women who are not comfortable going to see pelvic floor physios, which I would encourage them to do, they may want to use the Squeezy app. The problem with that is they still don't know whether they're doing the exercises correctly. So they could be spending a lot of time doing incorrect exercises. So it is worth, particularly as you get older or if you've had a baby, but if you have any of those symptoms, seeing a pelvic floor physio or a doctor.
And we know sports, certainly teams like, you know, England Netball and Chelsea Football Club have increasingly started to look to pelvic experts to enhance performance. Do you know what those clubs have been doing and what the pelvic experts have been doing with those athlete populations to enhance performance?
To be honest, I don't know what they've been doing to enhance performance. And I think it's difficult to know that having a healthy pelvic floor will actually make you run faster or not, or perform better, but it will certainly make you more comfortable. It'll make you healthier. The point with anybody is you want all muscles to be working optimally to have an optimal performance. And if the hips and the pelvis and the lower back, they're all connected, and that pelvic sling is all connected too. So if all the muscles are firing off beautifully and synchronously, then you're going to move better. I'm not sure that there's evidence that doing a pelvic floor exercises will make you run faster yet, but that may change, and it may be that Chelsea will publish something. But in all seriousness, I think making sure that the players have good pelvic floor health and that they're not having urinary incontinence and leakage of urine is only a good thing for them in terms of their general health and you know, helping them not to be concerned. It's removing another distraction for them, really, isn't it?
So, Anita, we've talked a lot about women and pelvic health, but is this something that just affects women?
Yeah, the short answer is no, it does affect men, and the symptoms can be different in men. So urinary incontinence might not be the primary symptom. They may present with constipation, or they might, the first symptom they have might be sexual dysfunction, or loss of sexual function. So I think in any man that was experiencing those sort of problems, then they should probably consider having a pelvic floor assessment as well. And again, there's physios who specialize in men's pelvic floor who can really help to make sure that things are functioning as well as possible.
Okay, so Anita, if there's one thing for listeners to take away about how to improve their pelvic floor health, what would it be?
Well, I think it's be aware of where your pelvic floor is, number one. And number two, even if you're not getting symptoms, learn how to exercise and relax that muscle. Continue to do it throughout your life.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much, Anita.
You're welcome.
Huge thanks to Anita and to all my guests on this series of Insider. If you found that episode useful and would like to find out more about the work we do, especially around female athlete health and performance, then check out the UK Sports Institute on all our socials at UK Sports INST. Please do tell your friends about this podcast, and while you're at it, do leave us a rating and a review on your podcast platform of choice, but obviously only if you enjoyed it. Until the next time we're together, thanks for listening, and we'll catch up soon.